Today is the first Sunday in Lent. The scripture lessons are from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, and Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Today's message is titled, If. It is written in the sacred scripture, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," said the serpent to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, she took some of it, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For you are dust, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Here ends the first lesson. Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was the pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, How much more did God's grace and gift, and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Here ends the second lesson. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you'll bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. 1971, the soft rock band Bread released a song with these lyrics. If a picture paints 1,000 words, then why can't I paint you? The words will never show the you I've come to know. Do you remember that one? If a face could launch 1,000 ships, then where am I to go? Or if a man could be 2 places at one time, I'd be with you. If the world should stop revolving, spinning slowly down to die, I'd spend the end with you. Do you remember that song, If by Bread? Or consider the Broadway show from 1964. Tevye begins singing and dancing. Oh Lord, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, yabba-dabba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-da-ba-da. And the lyrics then go on to paint the picture of what life would be like if I were a rich man. Concluding with, Lord, you made the lion and the lamb. You decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? That word, if. It's a conjunction. Introduces a conditional clause on the condition or supposition that in the event that. And we heard a few ifs this morning in our gospel reading. And if these ifs were done, they were done to question the will and authority of the living God. For just a few moments earlier in Matthew, at the end of chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, this is what we hear. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We have the declaration from the Father, This is my Son. And from the Greek word order, This is the Son of me, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. This is the Beloved. The Son, the Beloved Son, in whom the Father is well pleased. Here now in Matthew chapter 4, this Son, the Beloved, in whom the Father is well pleased, is suffering. Is suffering, is in anguish, and is hungry in the wilderness. The Beloved is suffering. Why is Jesus there? Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus, the Beloved One, was led there, was taken there by the Spirit of God. There to be tempted, to be tested. Tested to find out what is really present for. And in the root of the Greek word, the aspect of testing that is brought out is assaying. Assaying. That is to determine the content and quality of. You take gold, you have it assayed. That's assaying gold. You find out the purity of gold. And you may find out you might have fool's gold or real gold. That's what assaying means. So this testing, the Greek means, it really is to find out what is there. Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to this trial to show forth the quality of who he is, which is the Beloved Son of God, who does the will of the Father. John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And then jumping farther down into John, all the way to chapter 17, the night Jesus is betrayed, Jesus has this. I have revealed you to those whom you have gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. If you are the Son of God, it's not questioning who Jesus is. It's questioning the relationship. Is Jesus the beloved Son? If he truly is the beloved Son, he should not be suffering. So satisfy your hunger with the power that resides in you. Go ahead. Satisfy the hunger with the power that resides in you. In other words, tempting to no longer trust in the Father's will. Remember, it's the Spirit of the living God that led, that took Jesus into the wilderness for these moments. Tempting to no longer trust the Father's will. Many argue against God for this very reason. There is evil, there is suffering. And so they formulate the if-then logic clause sort of along this line. If God is all-loving, if God is all-powerful, why is there evil and suffering in the world? Either God is not all-powerful, or God is not all-loving. Yet here, we find the beloved Son suffering. And more than that, we will find the beloved Son suffering in an even greater fashion. Do you think you could ascend Mount Everest as your first climbing experience? Or do you think you could drive, though people think they are, on Highway 675, you think you could drive the Indy 500 as your first racing experience? These things take time to build up to those moments. Years of practice, years of life experience. The suffering in the wilderness really is small stuff compared to what is to come. Still, in this moment, as the beloved Son suffering, the trust and surety of the Father's will is walked in. So that when that moment comes of the greater suffering of the many that will come, the beloved will be ready to say, "Thy will be done." Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." If is to cause the questioning. It is to cause doubt. It is to break the relationship with the Father. And in your life and in my life, these ifs are used to draw us away from God. Just as the "why is this happening to me" questions draw people away from God. It may draw you away from the Father's love through Jesus Christ for you and your soul. Where did Jesus turn to answer each of the devil's ifs? If you are the Son of God. Jesus turned to the written sacred scriptures. It is written. These times of suffering, bring forth feelings of despair and doubt of the Father's goodness in our lives. And it may tend to bring about a distrust of His loving care for you. Turn as Christ did. Turn to the sacred Scriptures to be reminded how much the Father cares for you. You can turn to many places, but here's a few. Deuteronomy chapter 31, paraphrasing verses 7 and 8. Be strong and courageous. The Lord Himself will go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 12, verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those who hope is in Him, to the ones who seek Him. Micah, chapter 7, verse 7. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. There are many more words of sacred Scripture, such as these, to answer the devil as the evil one tries to break the faith in you. Along with the ifs, the evil one comes to try and break the faith in you with these tempting words too. Did God really say? Did God really say? As we find in our Genesis chapter 3 reading from the sacred Scriptures this morning. For the result of the words, did God really say in Genesis 3, is the breaking of the close personal relationship with the living God. The relationship the living God had with all of His creation, but especially Adam and Eve. For God would come and walk in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve. That closeness of God to humanity existed, and it was broken. So broken in a manner we cannot comprehend. The destruction was greater than our minds can comprehend, for in the moment resulted from doubting God's command, sin and death entered into creation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did you hear the twisting of the words there? Pay attention to the twisting of the words. The serpent came and said, did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden? Twisting the words there. This is what God said to Adam. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The evil one, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The tryst of words, not any tree. God said you may eat from any tree, but the one. Well, you notice too, Eve, the woman, she answers back when the serpent said, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. She answers rightly back, we may eat from the trees of the garden. Then she adds, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, adding, you must not touch it. Well, in a sense, that makes sense. If you're not supposed to eat it, why even touch it? You're not going to eat it, so why touch it? Or even think about it. Then rightly Eve says, or you will die. So she had some things right and she added to it, which sort of makes sense. But did you notice the evil one was plainly contradicting what God was saying? The evil one plainly contradicts God, saying, you will not surely die. That's a lie. And here we now have Jesus describing the evil one in John chapter 8, verse 44. As he is speaking to the others in the crowd, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies comes to Eve and says, did God really say? And from that came the fall as Eve and Adam ate from the tree. Sin entered creation, and the relationship with the living God, that close walk in the garden together relationship, was torn asunder. And along came death. For the wages of sin is death. And this is what we find Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane about. As his disciples fall asleep, even those three closest companions, Peter, James, and John, whom Jesus asked to keep watch with him as he prayed, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done. If Genesis chapter 3, the temptation and fall of Adam did not happen in physical human history, how then do you make sense out of Jesus praying thusly in the garden and soon being dragged off as a criminal? How do you explain Jesus being crucified and dying on the cross for humanity's sins, which was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his feet. That's why in the scene in the Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, you see at the beginning the snake going through the garden and Jesus crushes the head of the snake. It's reference to this. Striking the heel. Yeah? The devil will strike the heel, but in the process will be crushed. The head will be crushed. We live in a time when the devil's, did God really say, is more than casting doubts on the sacred scriptures. It's really casting doubt on the sacred scriptures. Did God really say, especially these chapters in Genesis, chapters 1 through chapters 11 of Genesis, the creation, the nature of humanity as male and female, the covenant of marriage as husband and wife, Noah and the ark, and the flood of judgment for the great sin of the people, that flood that covered the whole earth, are these sacred scripture? Are these also it is written? For in them it reveals the living God. And it reveals the sinful, depraved nature of humanity and our need of redeeming grace. Ifs. These ifs are prevailing too. They're casting doubts on the Father's love, casting doubt on God's existence, leading to more despair as hope and purpose. And that big picture of man created in God's image, male and female, He created them, as that is cast aside and is being replaced with all these other things, including man causing the earth's destruction, such that humanity is being seen as a curse upon nature's sustainability. To these ifs and to these, did God really say? The world uses them to destroy the faith. And the way to respond to that of the world is with the sacred scripture. It is written. In those moments of suffering and uncertainty, we see in them junctures, opportunities, places to build the faith. Moments of suffering are opportunities for hope to grow. A time to know even more deeply, it will be okay. Because you know with certainty the Father loves you. The Son died and rose for you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. It will be okay. No ifs, ands, or buts. The Lord is God. The Lord is good and loves you so dearly to free you from your past, pay the redeeming price for your sin, and give you eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? What you have received in Jesus Christ is so great. This grace is so wonderful. No ifs, ands, or buts of this world can take it away. It is yours, for you have the faith. The tempter will come and say, did God really say? The tempter will come and say, if, and cast doubts. But you, just as the Son of God who dwells in you with the Holy Spirit countered the evil one in the wilderness, you can counter the evil one these days by knowing the sacred scripture, especially Genesis 1 through 11, because it really gives us insight into who God is, who we are, and how much we are loved. Created in His image and meant to live with Him into eternity in the heavens to come. No ifs, ands, or buts. That is yours in Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. Amen. Amen.